This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's Buckle Movie Club.
And welcome to Puckle Movie Club. I am your host, Ethan, here today with my co-hosts,
Gator
and Viger.
I'm going to do a Thatch impression this entire episode. Not really, though, because Thatch sounds nothing like this. So, today, we are talking about Pokemon Movie 5, Pokemon Heroes. Do you guys have any frame of reference for this movie? Like, how did you first see it? Did you see it when it came out? Like, what's your background with this movie?
Well, first I'd like to point out, it's the Latios movie. For everybody that's like, which one's Pokemon Heroes? It's the one with Latios and Latias. Third gen.
It's actually the last second gen movie.
It's in Johto.
Still in Johto-ish territory. These movies, you never know where they technically are. But
no. This one looks like it's in Italy, which we'll get into.
So have you guys seen this movie before this?
Several years ago, but I read up on it just to kind of brush up for the podcast. But yeah.
I watched it. I think it was a couple years ago, the first time I saw it. I did not see it when it came out, because I did not see anything after the Pokemon the first movie when it first came out. This would have been a few years ago, but actually this is the one movie, besides the first one, that I like.
I
enjoyed this movie. This is not going to be Gator from the last episode.
No, not the heel Gator that we have so much hate mail for. Just inbox full. Actually, I mean, that implies that we get any sort of mail for this podcast. Yeah.
Hey, that's not true. We got an Etsy order confirmation.
I like to pretend that Etsy's like a listener, but I don't think Etsy is. Yeah. So I personally have seen this movie twice now, I think, prior to watching it for this episode. I watched it once just on my own when it came out. I don't remember the context. My memory is fading with age. And I watched it once for Puckle Movie Club already. Way back when, I think it was probably 2013 at this point, when we were running that originally, and everything was up on YouTube, and it made it really, really easy to do Puckle Movie Club, or whatever it was called. Puckle Movie Night is what it was called in that incarnation. We did that, and then I reviewed it, and I went back and looked at my review recently, and I really enjoyed it, apparently, at the time. Not that I remember writing that review.
Come to think of it, I might have been there for one of the Puckle Movie Nights where we watched it. That might be where I'm thinking I watched it a couple years ago.
We were in the same place at the same time, but neither one of us remembers it.
Well, here's the secret about Puckle Movie Nights when you guys actually come. We don't spend much time watching the movie so much as just making fun of the movie and talking. So it's kind of hard to remember the key points when you're just like, you're living that Mystery Science Theater 3000 life. You know what I mean?
Yep. I like to think that that our chat box is the same level of quality as Mystery Science Theater 3000. You can go on record. Take that, Joel and Mike. this month we're gonna propose that everyone go watch Mystery Science Theater if you haven't. This is our recommendation of the month. Mystery Science Theater 3000. Everyone knows what it is probably because you're all nerds like me.
Or yeah. You've been flipping through the TV randomly when you were a kid and it was It's the show that has like the picture of the movie, and then there's these superimposed shadows on the bottom, like three people are watching it and just making commentary.
It's the thing that ruined movies forever, because everyone tries to do that now. And no one can really capture the magic. Okay, anyway. Pokemon Movie 5, Pokemon Heroes. The movie opens with a brief explanation of the legend of Altamir and the Guardians
Did
of
Did I just
Altamir.
Say one thing?
Yeah,
can I just
sure.
say one thing
Go
before
ahead.
We
Absolutely.
Get any deeper?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like this is just the English dub butchering it once more, but the English name for the movie is just simply Pokemon Heroes, but the Japanese movie name is The Guardian Gods of the Water Capital, Latias and Latios.
That's nice and brief. Good job, Japan. Guardian Gods of the Water Capital? The Water Capital,
yes,
wow.
Yes, the Guardian Gods of the Water Capital, Latias and Latios.
Stellar. I really did like that opening animation they showed and didn't tell, which I really enjoy when they do that in a movie, where it's just, oh, okay, this is what's happening.
It's actually really neat looking, too. It's got this... it's
very unique style.
It's not storybook, but it's also not traditional art. It's its own kind of thing. I don't know. I think it's one of the more interesting aspects of this movie is this intro and how that kind of informs the design of the rest of the movie. Like there's definitely
it does.
It all looks like it's done in bronze, if that makes sense. Like it draws that kind of mechanical inspiration later on, which we'll discuss in a bit. But yeah, very neat opening animation. Explaining the legend of Latias and Latios, and an evil Pokemon trainer was going to use a Kabutops and an Aerodactyl to take over the city or whatever, and then Latios comes in, is like, hey, don't do it, and he turned the streets of the city into canals. However, Latios died, and his children were left orphans, and his soul is contained in a special jewel called the Soul Dew. Okay, and the Soul Dew is this MacGuff. I don't want to call it a MacGuffin. It's actually not a MacGuffin because it has purpose in the narrative. I just like saying MacGuffin because it's a good term. Annie and Oakley. I think we see Annie and Oakley before we see our protagonists in this movie.
We do, because they're the ones. So it cuts out from that opening animation to them looking at a book. So the opening animation you saw was them skimming through a book. And then they hop into this badass-looking car that turns into a jet.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
So, steal the book, and they leave their rose, which is their calling card. And I would like to point out that this opening sequence is pretty decently animated. Like, this is, again, one of the better-looking movies in the franchise.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know, it's subtle. There's, like, lots of subtle colors in it.
Yeah.
You know, the sequence
but, speaking of colors, though, can I just say one thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Blue. So much blue.
I mean, we are in a water city. Actually, the water's more of a green, honestly, which is kind of gross.
It's canals. Have you seen the canals of Venice? Like, not necessarily in person, but I mean, just like pictures. It's kinda...
Yo, shout out to Venice, which might be referenced a couple times in this episode. So, Annie and Oakley steal the book, and they're after the Soul Dew. Ash, Misty, and Brock are visiting Altamir. And they're doing an event called the Tour de Mer, which is a water race where trainers are on, not boats, but they're kind of weird boats.
They're little
little pontoon rafts or whatever.
Yeah. But they don't seem like they'd be terribly stable because they're very rounded.
Actually, I'd almost have to say they're like waterboard chariots.
Yeah, they're water chariots. They're getting pulled by the Pokemon. And this has the cutest thing with the Zatu countdown clock. Because they're like, all right, wait for the Zatu streak. And it's like three Natus on top of a Zatu going, Natu, 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 Zatu! And it sends them.
It's one of those nice things that they do sometimes in this franchise where they'll incorporate Pokemon into places where, I mean, we need a countdown timer. Let's just put Pokemon into it, you know, just to remind people they're watching. And it's cute, as you said. The trainers are pulled along on the pontoon things or the you know, chariots by their Pokemon. And Totodile darts off in the middle of the race, but we can see it, but Ash can't. He's being carried away by Latios and Latias.
One thing about this race, before we get off on the narrative aspect of it, how is this race just not automatically determined by Pokemon speed tiers? Like, come on.
You're telling me that fighting spirit plays no role?
No.
The desire to win?
There is an established amount of speed a Pokemon is capable of attaining. Even if you put all of the EVs into it, why is Corsola and a Whalmer the winners of this race? Like, come on.
Because the anime demands
it. Where's your sense of adventure, my man?
My sense of adventure is the smart money is on a Sharpedo. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing. Sharpedo is a third-gen Pokemon, and it wasn't introduced during second-gen movie. And this.
Nerd alert.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert! So, Ross, who's the former champion, Misty wins the race, of course, because, you know, water gym leader also.
Water tide.
So, Ross gives them a tour of Altamere. During the city, he tells them about the city's guardians, Latios and Latias.
If we're looking for confirmation of this is, like, you know, not just, like, a random canal city and it's actually a nod to Venice, we actually run into Team Rocket eating spaghetti and meatballs on the side of the canal as the race is coming by, and they get splashed with water. And so I thought for, like, a moment, because I forgot that Team Rocket has to be involved always, that they were going to take a lesser role in this movie and just be comedy foils without being the actual main bad guys. And that was pretty great. Just like to throw that out there, that the spaghetti and meatball references and the canal references, pretty subtle pointing there, Pokemon Company.
Pikachu is meets this girl who has very, very distinctly wing-shaped hair. Totally not a Pokemon, I swear, guys. We meet her later in the movie as Bianca, but at this point it is Latias disguised as a human.
He meets her at a Pokemon fountain, which is really cool, and I don't know why they don't do that for, like, more stuff. Like, it's a specific little watering fountain for Pokemon. And that was adorable, too, watching Pikachu be like, oh, I'm thirsty. And then she's like, here, drink.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense in the context of this universe, like, to have watering fountains around. Because, you know, you got animals with you all the time who need to eat and drink, and specifically water types. Like, a Vaporeon soaks in one at one point.
Yeah, that's how Pikachu ended up seeing it, was spotting the Vaporeon. Which was also kind of cool that we get two evolutions in this movie. We get the Espeon that Annie and Oakley have, and we get to see the Vaporeon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was kind of psyched about that, too.
It should also be made known that, I know I keep bringing up English dubs differences and everything to
someone has
the Japanese.
To. Someone's got to do it, and it's not going to be
and
me.
I don't know why I'm the one that
be
keeps
that
doing
guy,
it.
Be that guy, Viker. Be that guy.
I will be the devil's advocate. But it should be made known that English version, we just have Annie and Oakley being established as, like, independent criminals working just with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Japanese version, they actually confirm that they work for Team Rocket and Giovanni.
Right, and don't they have a name, but, like, something in the Lions? I don't entirely remember.
I'm trying to remember, too.
I'm just pointing out that I watched the dub, and even with the dub, they said that it was a throwaway line, but they said they had to go catch these rare Pokemon for Giovanni. So maybe that depends on the version.
Oh, no, wait, I think I got that mixed up. The dub makes them members of Team Rocket. The sub makes them independent.
Okay.
Because I watched. I
think that's
version.
What I got mixed up there.
It wasn't the English version that they, like, prettied up and dubbed over. It was the Japanese version purely with the dub. So I might just be, like, in random land there.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
I'm already all mixed up and everything. So.
So the Japanese version of Annie and Oakley are Xander and Lion. So take that as you will.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I know what Lion means. I got that one down pat.
Could it be a Sun and Moon reference, everybody?
Oh my, hold
on.
Sun and
Moon was confirmed back in third gen.
Hold on, where's my blog? Where's my blog at? I gotta, this conspiracy's here.
Whoa. What if it is, though? Oh my god.
Oh. What is Xander secretly a code for, like,
bat?
Yeah.
Moon bat?
Moon bats. Moon bat is a good expression, by the way. That has to come back. I'm bringing back moon bat. I forget what moon bat even means. I think it just means crazy, right?
I think so.
Okay. So,
I'll talk about crazy.
Annie and Oakley are totally moon bats. And, so they use a device, which is a laptop. But it's very pink and whatever. They used the device to determine that Bianca, which we don't know where is Bianca yet, is actually Latias in disguise. And they try to capture her.
I really like that Annie and Oakley have, like, no chill.
Yeah, no.
Because, like you were
they don't care even a little bit.
No, like you were saying, because Ash comes and, like, saves the Latias. But then they're like, no, we're just trying to
help her avoid a fashion disaster. What's their justification for trying to kidnap this
girl? Very fashion forward. Like, one of them gets dunked in the water at one point. Is like, hey, I just bought this outfit. It's, you know, it's that's great. Part of their character.
They just do not give a flying fadoodle.
Nope.
So they
might be my favorite villains, honestly. Yeah. They're great.
At least they know what they want. Like, their motives are clear. From moment zero, they're like, we want that soul dew. That's what we're about.
Yeah, and they're not stupid evil. Like, that's the thing. Like, they're pretty compelling.
They don't self-proclaim themselves as evil like the Masked Marauder in the last movie. They just say they'll do whatever. I guess you could say that they're lawful chaotic, maybe.
They want their stuff. Like, they're like, hey man, we want thing, and we'll do whatever we have to do to get it.
So I'd like to point out something that was, I think, woefully ignored. And that is the saddest story that happens in this movie, which is poor Ross, the guy who is competing with Misty at the very end there. He's the one that had the Whalmer and lost. Mm-hmm. So you got this guy who's a native, and he's like, oh, Misty, let me just show you around. You're like the champion. You're so cool, blah, blah, blah. You could tell he's totally crushing on this girl. And he's like, let me show you around. She's like, yeah, sure, lovely. Cut to, like, a little bit later. And he's pushing her, Ash, and Brock around on a gondola. Like, those two totally crashed on his date.
Like, A little bit of blocking action happened there, for sure.
It was terrible. I'm like, come on, guys. What is this?
I am absolutely heartbroken for Ross. I'm sure Love will find him eventually, though. He's an athlete.
I will say this. This isn't going to be the last time that we hear any sort of love issues in this movie.
That's true. Foreshadowing.
Epic foreshadowing.
Hey man, you know what love doesn't have an issue? My love for this movie.
Perfect segue.
Absolutely tacky. Okay, so they go and visit a museum, which is curated by a portly Italian man named Lorenzo. I'm just going to assume he's Italian because his name's Lorenzo, and he looks like Mario.
Fat Mario with weird eyes.
Oh, Japan, you've done it again.
Yes. When your only frame of reference for an entire nation is a video game, you know, this is what happens. You gotta stop bigotry at the source. And in this case, the source is Mario. I'm gonna start this campaign now. No Mario 2017.
You know what? We need to have some sort of intervention going on. So I propose we take Scrawn and send him to Japan to help fix these inaccuracies.
No, but that
I think he's
too
already
awesome.
Going to Japan.
Shh, Viger, that's the joke.
Ah.
Okay, we're gonna see if we can. We're gonna use our Puckle powers to get a meeting with Miyamoto with Scrawn. So we'll set him up good. Yeah, I think we have a lot of pull because you know we influence so much of the games because they steal our ideas all the time.
Thatch is predicting everything. So
yeah, anytime Thatch predicts something that's not gonna happen, they go ahead and do it. I mean, so obviously they just exist to spite us.
They owe him one, you know, like they owe us like one favor, and that favor is get rid of their mascot, get rid of their primary mascot,
and give us Porygon.
Give us
Porygon. I'd be down with that.
Yeah. So they go to the museum, and there's this really cool, like the cool machine, which is supposed to control the entire city, the defense mechanism of Altomare. And again, it goes back to that iconography of like the cogs and everything, or you know, mm-hmm. but the machinery aspect. So Ash sees who he believes to be the girl from earlier at the museum, and he chases after her, and he finds her, and lo and behold, it is not the girl from earlier, but a girl named Bianca. But it's also
exactly like the girl from before.
Latias pretends to be Bianca when she goes out and about in the city of Altamere. And they go to the Hidden Garden, which is a sanctuary for Pokemon. And it's really pretty. It's a very, very nice, like, nice looking, well-designed location. There's a pool. It's actually, how do they get something so, how do they have such a large grassy area in basically a floating city?
Well, okay, remember, the origins of the city was he turned the roads into canals. So, if it was just like a regular place beforehand, that would explain why they had this wide grassy area.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. And this is where Latios and Latias hang out. And they look down into this pool, and in the pool is the soul dew, which is the soul of the Latios from the beginning of the movie.
That is correct.
That is right.
Then Annie and Oakley find Latios and Latias and capture them. And then things are not going great.
Right before this, though, was the cool scene where Pikachu gets to fly with Latios and Latias. And I was digging that. Like, they got to explore together. Pikachu was so happy. And then the chase scene starts happening. Because, like you said, they discover them. And that's when we see a... Because the Pokemon they use are the Espeon and the Ariados. And Espeon and Ariados apparently are way stronger than legendary Pokemon.
Apparently. Let me tell
you, way stronger.
I'd like to get to... I want to know what the IVs are on those two.
Because they come up and they're basically like, haha, we're going to capture you now. And Latios is like the bit, you know, the tough one. So Latios is fighting him. But they use moves like Psyshock and Tackle and Psybeam and Psychic. They use one move that's going to be effective against these Pokemon. That was Nightshade. But it's an Espeon using Nightshade.
Yeah. What's happening. I will say, like, a lot of us who run a lot of, like, more powerful Pokemon are like, seriously, there are way better moves to be using with these.
Like, I mean, you told your Espeon to tackle it. Like, well, come on.
Who still runs Tackle?
I mean, pros do. I don't know if you, like, pros like myself run Tackle on every Pokemon. It's slot one on every single Pokemon I have. You can check it. You can go through my boxes right now in every game I've ever had. Slot one, Tackle. It's important.
Apparently it worked, because they captured Latios, they used this weird net thing.
It's not really a net, isn't it more of a, like a, I don't know what you would call it, like a hard light field? If that makes sense?
It's like somebody took Saran Wrap and, like, threw it at a Pokemon, and it just wrapped them up.
And Annie and Oakley throw rolls of Saran Wrap at Latios, and it just stumbles its way.
And they catch the Latios.
Yeah. And they catch Latios, and they get the Soldo. So it turns out all you need is just a big old wrap of Saran Wrap, and you've got every legendary Pokemon. Okay, they take the Soldo and use the Soldo to control the DMA, which is the defense mechanism of Altamere, which is the big old machine in the museum. So they set that up and pay it off probably within 10 minutes. Like, this movie does not spare any suspense. Like, it just happens. It's like, this is the thing that was used to control the city. We're going
to
use it now.
And then you cut to, like, you see what's happening there. They've got Ariado spun a web that's captured the old man and the girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bianca and Lorenzo. They're all caught in a web. Annie and Oakley, in classic Annie and Oakley fashion, if I can go ahead and say that, since we've been, you know, in, like, three scenes with them. They look at the seat that's for the defense mechanism thing, and they're like, this looks really uncomfortable. That's your big critique of everything that's happening now. All this is happening, and they're just complaining about the seat not being very ergonomic. Like, it's great.
It is one big slab of metal. I don't want to sit on that. I'll get hemorrhoids.
It was great. Their attitudes was very consistent throughout the movie, and I enjoyed them immensely. Spoiler alert, I like bad guys, so.
At least they're having fun with it, you know? They're yucking it up.
Perfect.
So we forgot to mention, Ash and Co. are looking in on this scene using Latios and Latias's, like, voodoo power.
Yeah, because Latias comes and seeks them out. She shows up, and they're all sleeping, and she's like, hey. So Brock and Misty finally meet Latias, and they don't believe it because she's in the girl form.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ash straight up tells them, like, this is Latias. And they're like, oh, wow, it's nice to meet you. And then they transform into Latias form, and they freak out. Like, you knew it was Latias. Why are you freaking out?
I think they were just, like, half-heartedly just like, oh, sure, Ash, you're 10 years old. You know exactly what you're talking about. And then,
they see weirder things than that on a daily basis. So,
also, I'd like to point out, we watched Togepi sleeping, and Togepi sleeps with its little head spikes tucked in, and it still looks like an egg, and it's also cute. Also, spoiler alert, I think everything's cute in this movie, and I'm going to keep using that word cute and adorable, because there's still more cute things to come.
I fully welcome the use of the terms cute and adorable. So, this movie is actually pretty brief, so we're going to take a little break here for a second, just to gather ourselves and, you know, let it all seep in. You know, take this time, take this break that I'm about to give you, to call your mother, whomever, a loved one, and tell them that you love them. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Ethan from Puckle Movie Club with a quick commercial break. Just letting you know that if you send an email to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, we will answer your questions. So ask us questions about what we think about movies, tell us what you think about movies, even just send us whatever you're up to. Gmail account is pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening, and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome back to Puckle Movie Club. Hope you took this time to call your loved ones or just, you know, reflect. What'd you guys do with your time?
I called my mom, and it's going to be okay now.
I basically just sat here and waited for the recording to start back up again.
You could have used that time to resolve your issues. I don't know, like, you could have...
I don't have any issues. I don't know why you keep saying that.
Fair enough. I hear in your voice that you secretly do, and you just don't want to, you know, let us all know, but... here at the Puckle Movie Club, we like to solve problems because, man, we've got a lot of them when recording this thing.
Vigor is actually just a Magnemite that's shapeshifted in a human form.
I knew it.
It's a lot like Latias, just has no problems.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit cuter than Latias, though, so I don't know.
Did you just call Vigor cute?
Yeah, I did. I don't know. What's wrong What's wrong with that? It's a little...
I didn't even catch that. Wait, what?
I don't know. I don't even know anymore. So, Ash and Co. peeking in on Annie and Oakley being up to no good in the museum. I keep saying museum. I guess it's a museum, right?
We'll call it a historical site.
Yes. There's a sign up front that says, like, an 1824, the Civil War veteran was born here. Do you guys have those in your states, too? Where, like,
yes,
there's just signs for meaningless locations that have no actual value?
Yes, they're called National Historic Markers, you know, so they could commemorate something that had value in history, Ethan.
Okay, I don't, you know, what? Who am I to say that the Civil War veteran didn't have any value?
Oh my god.
Let's get back into Pokemon movie number 5, ladies and gentlemen.
We're a little bit slap happy here, even though it's not too late at night, it's just been a long day.
The sun is still out, man.
The sun is out, and I'm outside, so I have heat stroke right now. Okay, so... Annie and Oakley, up to no good. They activate the machine and start using it to resurrect the Kabutops and Aerodactyl. And
Pokemon.
And a chase scene ensues.
Because they're trying to kiss the Latias.
As these things do in Pokemon movies.
So we get another another brief moment of Team Rocket being like, oh no, things are going wrong, we gotta get out of here. And then they get trapped
in... Yeah, just Team Rocket being there.
I think we discussed this already, but I like the role that they have Team Rocket in, which is not much of one.
Exactly.
The less Team Rocket in the movie, the better.
Food gets ruined. It ruins their ice cream in one chase. It ruins their spaghetti in another chase. Poor Team Rocket, almost.
They're just there just to get done over.
Which is fine. I prefer them in that role. Because quite frankly, after all these years, what is it, 20 years now, I'm tired of Team Rocket.
Yeah, you don't have to force them in every movie, you know? Like, it's... They don't have to be there. The protagonist is Ash. Like,
they're not even good bad guys. Like,
no.
Come on.
So, the sequence where they're locking down Altomare, is actually really cool because there's these fences coming out of walls and they've got neat patterns going. It's a nice touch. Like, just the way that everything sort of works with this machine. So, Ash and Pikachu jump onto a gondola, and Ash is making an attempt to get away. The gondola gets destroyed by an Aerodactyl. What attack is it? A hyper beam? Like, what? It spits a laser beam.
It's just like an orange beam of energy, right?
We're just gonna assume that's hyper beam. Like,
yeah,
every
hyper
bad
beam
Pokemon
is always just
hyper
like.
Beam.
I would just always chalk it up as hyper beam is the obligatory like giant explodey beam attack that powerful Pokemon use. Negating the whole wait a turn to recharge bit.
Yeah, so, yeah. Aerodactyl chase. So the machine starts to go haywire at this point, and just freaking out, and Latios is getting shocked by the cage, and it's a whole lot of no good. So Ash and Latias make it back to the machine.
Well, what happens first before that is the machine wasn't necessarily going crazy, so they corner Latias and Ash, they end up in open water, and she's a giant tornado of water, it has to be a water spout, and it captures Latias, Ash, and Pikachu and starts drowning them and trying to kill them. And Latias goes Super Saiyan, creates this giant, like, ball of sphere of energy, destroys the tornado, and starts setting the machine into chaos.
Right.
Which was baller.
Yeah. Latios, Ash, and Pikachu go back to the thing, and they try to they free Latios, who is seriously injured, and the DMA is going berserk. Annie tries to get the soul dew out of the machine, right?
But no, do not touch it.
Don't touch it.
Okay, so
it's turned black and spoiled.
Yeah, it's been tainted. And then the soul dude disappears, or it turns black, and then the DMA shuts down. And then the water in the city becomes a giant tsunami, which is terrifying. You don't want a tsunami in your city. Never a good thing.
Nope.
So Latios and Latias use their powers to stop the tsunami. But, you know, to have enough power, Latios has to overexert himself, and then he dies, which is sad.
Which I really appreciated that they killed a Pokemon.
Yeah. It's about time one of those things put the dust.
Yeah,
it sounds callous, but from a storytelling perspective, it only makes sense that at some point something has to die. Like,
it's otherwise it's a cop-out. It's also poetic, they have the one at the beginning that dies, and, you know.
We'll take this chance to compare it to the last movie, since that's kind of why you brought us on, to have us, like,
yes,
these dual perspectives. So in the Celebi movie, Celebi is supposed to die, it is dying, it's basically dead, and then it's like, LOL, nope, we had this, like, convenient time paradox where we bring it back to
life. Deus Ex Machina's.
Celebi.
Yep.
Whereas this one, it's like, well, there actually are spirit Latios and Latias, but nope, this Latios is
going to... We don't work apart. Like that.
It's going to go into the soul dew and live on as the protector, but it is leaving the corporeal form. It is no more.
Shedding its earthly coil. Yeah, so they stop the tsunami, and the water returns to the city, and Team Rocket gets one last kick in the butt and gets washed away by the water. The ancient Pokemon return to fossil form in the museum, and Annie and Oakley are trapped inside the DMA. Everything's totally cool. Latios becomes the new Soldu and the new guardian of Altamere, and the Ash and Co. are going to leave. But before they leave,
put on your big boy pants, people, because here it comes.
But wait, there's more.
Bianca comes running back up to them.
It is either Bianca or...
It's Bianca.
It's Bianca.
It's not Bianca.
Keep rolling with it.
No, because look, the...
Let's just keep rolling with it until it happens. Let's just keep rolling with it until it happens.
You tell me you don't want that ambiguity, man? You don't know...
No, I'm telling you they told you who it was beforehand. So they go to see Bianca off, and Lorenzo's there, and he's like, no, Bianca's gone to the shops. And then you see this hand up in the window in Bianca's room, grab this paper piece of paper and roll it up. And then that's when you, later on, Ash and Co. are leaving on the boat. They see this Bianca sprite running towards them, clutching this piece of paper. Ash is like, hey, driver, stop the boat! And so he does. He gets off the boat, and like the girl comes up to him, hands him the paper, and then gives him a kiss.
Yeah, but
like,
what if it's a Latias saying the things that Bianca never had the guts to say, through action.
It's definitely a Latias, because Ash isn't getting a girl; he's getting a Pokemon. That's
hey man, he's only about catching pokes. That's the only thing that my dude cares about. Okay,
yeah, catching pokes is life. But he opens the picture up, and it's a drawing, a colored drawing of him and Pikachu, which again is another throwback to the last movie where the Oak had the drawing of Pikachu.
As they're leaving, Latias and then two new, either Latios or Latias are flying, and like, oh man, the two more came in their place, or in the place
but
of
only,
Latios.
Only Pikachu sees him, though. And so Pikachu's face, like, at first, is the funniest thing, because he's just got that oh mouth of surprise and nobody else is noticing what's going on. It's just Pikachu sitting there like, what? And then Ash finally notices and then it's cool. But that Pikachu face, I want to like make a gif of.
Altamira saved. Our crew goes on to the next. Okay, so we've covered the movie. Let's briefly talk about our thoughts on the film. What do you guys
think?
Well,
hold on. One second, because there was something in the end credits that I found impressive. There are actually prisons in the Pokemon world.
Right.
Because you see Annie and Oakley looking over a book for their next steal, but they're in a max security prison. So if there are prisons in the Pokemon universe, why is Team Rocket still running around? What is happening?
They keep getting blasted off into another direction, and then they can't catch them because they keep going off and turning into little stars in the sky.
I forgot to mention, there's an Easter egg in the post-credits, or not the post-credits, but during the credits, where you can see the villain from Pokemon the Movie 2000 in a book that Annie and Oakley are looking at in prison. The Collector, was his name? What was his name? Oh, God.
The Masked Marauder?
That's from 2000. Super memorable bad guy from that movie is in this movie. That super compelling, everyone's favorite villain in movie history is an Easter egg in this movie. I don't even know if it's really an Easter egg, if it's just up front and center. But yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the movie. What'd you guys think of it?
I will say it was a bold step in, I guess, the right direction with just like shaking up the formula. I'd say it was a much more artistically done.
There's a certain level of artistry to it. Like there's a location, and the location is distinct, and then there's like certain cool parts about the location. Like I like the mechanical aspects of the city. I mean, it's a city with water canalways, and yeah, they stole that from real life, but at least it's something visually different, you know? Like I think visuals are a huge part of what works in this movie. It's a good looking film. It's a decent-looking Pokemon movie. And, like, I think Bianca as a character design is good-looking. It's a good character design. Sticks in your brain, you know? I like the elements from, like, the Latios and Latias wing design incorporated into the hair. It's just, there are little things in this movie that elevated above some of the other movies in the franchise for me.
Well, you know, not just the visual stuff, because I watched it in, like, you know, 360p, so it was the highest quality visuals, but the music was excellent. I'd say that the music really helped set the tone throughout the movie through the chase scenes, and it got my toes tapping and
rump shaking,
but
rump shaking,
no rump shaking,
not even like a little waddle in your seat.
There was no rumpus, there was no raucous, but it was good music. So I did notice that because I wasn't paying 100 strong full attention to the movie. I was also, you know, checking my Facebook and doing all that, but I was consistently engaged with it because of the soundtrack. So yeah. I really give them props for that too. It was, I don't even remember the music from the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
no.
This was definitely a step in the right direction.
I will say one little tidbit of things that I saw in the movie is what I can't find my words
now. No worries.
Either way. One thing that instantly makes this one of my favorite Pokemon movies to date, it's still not as great as Rise of Darkrai in my opinion, mm-hmm. but one little factor that makes it like top tier there is that at the very beginning, there is a 4-second scene where we actually see a real living Porygon in anime form outside of Electric Soldier Porygon.
Outside of this ain't no
montage of still images of Pokemon just flying by. And, oh, there's Porygon, Porygon 2, and Porygon Z. No, this is a legit Porygon behind a fence, guarded by an electrode.
Properly
like
animated.
What he did in Electric Soldier Porygon, which he didn't do, but whatever. I just like it. It's a little nod and be like, hey, yeah, Porygon's still a thing.
It's a Pokemon that exists.
Yeah, you're never going to see it in the anime, but whatever.
Not us Westerners. We'll never see it here. But no.
All I'm saying is there was no blimp boat. There was flying jet car. And
flying jet car's cooler.
Better.
And water chariot.
Way better.
Also, yeah, water chariots. Water chariots are cool.
It's like we're in this town. We're going to have a race.
We're going to have fun.
World building is important. World building is an important part of your of a film, you know? And I really believed the location of Altamere, half because that place actually exists, but it's nice. It's nice to have those elements. It's nice to have villains that are like, you know, have character traits for once. That aren't just bad guy. Ah.
They don't self-identify as bad guys. They just self-identify as guys that don't care.
Yeah, they're out for them and theirs, you know?
Yep.
Death in my Pokemon movies. Like, it's not a requirement to have a good movie to have death in it, but, you know, it gives weight to things. The movie starts with Pokemon dying in terms of, like, hey, there's real stakes here. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Bianca is a distinctive character. Latios and Latias are separate entities from each other in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's... How do you distinguish those Pokemon? But they have different personality traits. And, like, Latias has this kind of, whimsy to her, and Latios is more straight-laced and kind of, like, less trusting of people.
The
you know?
Older brother, sort of.
Yeah. It's the fact that I can even draw those ideas about the character, having watched the movie, like, you know, that I can even remember those aspects, makes this movie a higher work than the other movies in the franchise, in my opinion.
And which is kind of ironic, given the sense that, as of the Bulbapedia trivia that says, until the release of Pokemon the movie Hoopa and the Clash of Ages, Pokemon Heroes was considered the lowest performing of the Pokemon films in Japan, only amounting to 26, insert a large number, yen, because I don't do good with other currencies other than the US dollar.
Here's the thing, though. So that movie came on the tail of the last movie, which was bad. So
I was trying to pick up pieces of what happened.
And I know at a certain point they stopped releasing them in theaters.
Home video releases. So, actually, I think in Japan it still got releases in theaters. I think every Pokemon movie has been released in theaters.
There's a little indentation underneath that little bit of trivia that says it was also the last Pokemon movie to receive a theatrical release outside Japan until Light and Zekrom nearly 9 years later.
Huh.
Wow.
I wonder if you can track down a 35mm. I wonder if this has a film print out there somewhere. We should campaign to get Puckle a film copy of Pokemon Heroes, is a 35mm film stock, and then we'll project that at PuckleCon.
On our Puckle Freighter.
Yes. We'll find a wall somewhere in a back alley, and because, you know, this movie's grimy.
Does it have to be a back alley?
It's grimy. It's a grimy movie. We go through alleyways, CG alleyways that look good, and we'll just project that somewhere, and we'll
all
shoot
I'm saying
cramps.
Is Thatch has a green screen. That's all we need.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. This movie
let's
will be very green tinted, but.
Let's science theater show, whatever you called it
Mystery
again.
Mystery Science Theater. 3000.
Mystery Science 3000. Theater. Let's do that. Just
I'm down
three
for
of us
it.
Sitting there pointing at the screen.
Some movies got theatrical releases in the States, right? Like, I mean, obviously Pokemon the movie did, 2000 did. I wonder if there are film prints of that of those out there somewhere that we can get our hands on. It'd be really expensive because film is mad expensive, but
I'm just sitting here wondering if Thatch listens to us.
I don't know.
This Thatch... podcast or us?
I sometimes wonder if he listens to any of us.
No, I mean this podcast, because I'm sure Columbus has back alleys. We can just have him go scout locations.
I've been to Columbus. I can confirm that there are back alleys in that city. There's actually, I think that city's nothing but back alleys. It's like Cleveland.
It makes sense, because Thatch is kind of shady.
That's true. You can find, if you're looking for Thatch, if you go to any back alley in Columbus, he'll be there. He'll be like, hey kid, you looking for some Wishmaker Jirachis? Like, what do you...
And the best part about that is we have other distribution carts, but he's so hung up on the Wishmaker Jirachis. Like, come on Thatch, calm down.
Yeah.
And we know he doesn't listen to this, so we can say all we want.
Should I reveal at this point that the Puckle Movie Club is just one big long con to take over Puckle as a whole? Is that kosher to talk about?
I think our listeners know.
Okay, I mean, it might not seem that way based on the fact that every episode seems like an ill-prepared mess, but this is one long big play for me to finally take over Puckle, and since I'm evil, I'm going to turn Puckle evil. We're going to be evil Puckle in 2017. Believe it. Yeah, so that was Pokemon Movie 5, Pokemon Heroes. We liked it. The villains were good. The art was good. The music was good. The movie was good. I don't know what else there's really to say about it, because, I mean, it's easy to talk about a movie you hate, but...
So, if you hated this podcast...
If you hated this podcast, shoot us an email, and let us know how much you hate us. If you liked this movie, shoot us a very brief email, because there's not much to say other than you liked it and it was good. So yeah, from Lavender Town Radio Tower in Puckle Movie Land Clubland, Puckle Movie Clubland, I've been your host, Ethan, and these have been my co-hosts.
Gator, this is the part where you put your name in.
I should insert the Skype drop called sound again. Okay, sorry. All right. I've been Ethan, and these have been my co-hosts.
Gator.
And Fire.
And, it's closing time, which is never how I end this show, but in this instance, I'm going to end it by saying it's closing time. Oh.
God damn!
What a life! Shout out to Winston.